Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerd Stuff. And this is the episode 30, the much awaited 3-0. And I know we've been gone for a bit. And, you know, it's life happens, things change. But one thing's for sure, we are back and we're going to try to make it as frequent as possible, keep to the schedule of weekly. And speaking of schedules on time, we have here the man of the hour, always on time here, my buddy. Freak of nature.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. It's great to be back. I think we took almost a 1 month break.
Yeah, definitely.
1 month, 1 week. I'm sorry, listeners. But back. We're back for good. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're back for good. And this time, so again, this is Kron, and with me is Freak of Nature. We're missing our buddies here, Red, Ron, and Index. So hopefully they'll be back soon as well. And, you know, with stuff happening around the world, we can't really force anything on everyone, especially we want to make it chill. Like, this is supposed to be like a free space. It's like a free open space where you can talk about the stuff you want to nerd out with.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's just us chilling out, talking about news. You know, not that everyone's stuck at home, it's actually better and more encouraged for social interaction that we have a podcast and talk about it.
Yeah. You know, it promotes people staying at home too. So let's kick things off. We have here is we have the first gameplay demo of Ratchet & Clank. Rift Apart for the PlayStation 5. So I actually have not seen the full version. I think I've seen clips and snippets of it. What do you garner from this break?
Just based on like what I've seen, you know, it's like a true time kind of mechanics, right? Like you to true time and space, I guess. And I think the game closest to this kind of mechanics, I think, is Between Two Worlds.
Oh, okay, that's or interesting.
Beyond Two Souls or something.
Oh, Beyond Two Souls.
I don't exactly remember the game title, but I don't know. I'm not too thrilled about platformers. Like, I didn't play Spyro, Crash Bandicoot when they were popular. So I don't think this is kind of the game for me. I'm more of a GTA, Mafia 3 kind of guy.
Well, for me, platformers just tickle my fancy, but I'm more of the 2D platformer guy. You know, the classics like Blood Slug. And of course, anything variant in the modern space, especially in the indie space, like you have here. What else do you have? You have Owlboy. You have
Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy. Yeah, those are like those. That's even I think you with your card regarded as a classic by now. It should be a classic by now. It's like one of those things that are born out of Newgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So F for Newgrounds actually. Flash is.
It still exists.
It still exists, but you know, well, F for Flash. Basically.
F of Flash. It was a security vulnerability anyway. Yeah. It's all good.
Pushing back to more trailers, we have Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. It is another Call of Duty title, Cold War this time. So, I mean, there's really not much to talk about, but it does at least tackle a whole new era. I mean, I don't think Cold War has ever been tackled before. I'm not sure. My memory is not that good with FPS.
Cold War, I don't think so. It's more of like it's a bit of a touchy subject, I guess. I guess that's why no console has ever... Actually, it's only recently, right, has Cold War become a distant enough memory for us to mythicize it, right? Because if you have so many adults, you know, still treating the Cold War very seriously, knowing, having lived through it, there'll be this giant, like, knee-jerk reaction. Like, how can you trivialize, you know, such an important part and such a tense part of our history, that kind of thing. So we were at the Vietnam War, and then, you know, we moved a bit closer, and now we're at the Cold War. So I think next, right, we'll go to Iran.
I think the modern warfare, or I think even Battlefield, I think covers that well enough.
Like, can you imagine if Call of Duty creates a title where the storyline is it's 9/11 and then you are the initial wave of people being deployed to the Iran war? I think that would be...
That would create the havoc, actually. I mean,
I don't know when they would be able to do that, but, you know, judging by the progression, it's soon to come.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll ever do it. The backlash is going to be too intense, especially, and, you know, both countries.
I don't know about that, because Cold War was pretty serious, right? Like, the whole world was on the brink of nuclear war. You have satellites that have nukes in, you know, outer space. That was a pretty tense time. So if that is not off limits, I think, you know, just needs maybe a couple, 20, 30 years, but it will come eventually.
Ah, yeah, true. Maybe 20, 30 years, Call of Duty would probably give it a shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it could be their downfall as well if, you know, it's not received well. There's a lot of things that people just don't forgive. And speaking of downfall, you have next is the Fall Guys Season 2. Have you played Fall Guys, Freak?
Oh, I haven't. Man, I've seen so many people play Fall Guys, but it's a platformer game.
that one I have played.
True to form, I don't play platformer games.
So it's very reminiscent because I grew up like watching this on TV. Like I don't know if you have it there in Singapore. It's called Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah,
it's like a variety Japanese variety show, and you know they have these contestants going through obstacles. It's very, very much alike a Fall Guy, actually. So I have been playing, but it's not as much. But I have been enjoying. I only have one crown on my head. You know, this at least the same as Tim the Hatman. I got it before Tim the Hatman.
Tim the Tatman, because he has tattoos on his body. So,
yeah, sure.
He's definitely not Tim the Crown guy. So, because it's, I think Fall Guys is kind of like, it comes at the perfect time. So everything is so bleak and negative.
Yeah.
And I think the wholesome vibe and like just the have fun kind of vibe really struck a nerve with the crowd. And, you know, it's just so wacky and entertaining. And for you, it might have been Takeshi's Castle, but for me, you know, my childhood was like Legends of the Hidden Temple. And I think really, like this group of children, the show Legends of the Hidden Temple was aired in 1993. So it's about the right age, you know, for all these inspired children to play this kind of game. It just comes at the perfect time, right?
Okay, speaking of wholesome and fun and childlike, so yeah, I do have a problem with people cheating on Fall Guys.
Oh, man.
Come on, seriously. I just want to get that out of my system, okay?
Like, any multiplayer game.
But it's guys. The love of God, it's supposed to be a wholesome, fun game, and you have people cheating. Seriously.
Look, Ron, I don't care if you're looking for fun, but I'm just looking to win, okay? So I'll just hack and get my crown, and I'm happy.
I mean, like, the battle pass is just all cosmetics as well, and wasn't even that. The battle pass cosmetics. I just get it. Okay, I just wanted to get it out of the system. I know we were talking about season 2, but yeah, just, you know, get that out of my system. If you cheat,
what would you expect for season 2 other than like more maps and more skins? Of course, like do you think they'll have mechanics? Weapons or something like that.
It's not out of the realm because they already have that map where you pull the butt plug from other people.
Oh my god. Oh, now we're never going to get sponsors, Ron. if consistency was an issue and now we are having like inappropriate content, we're just digging a hole for ourselves.
But
stop it.
But stop they have that map where you have to pull ferret tail out of your so they pull that out and you get it basically. So it's not out of the realm for them to have another feature when you whack someone.
Like take a hammer or something.
Yeah. My imagination is something like, you know those rollers, the tubes where you have to balance yourself and you can basically topple someone.
Oh yeah, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like the pool noodles.
Oh yeah, those are pretty good.
That'd be pretty fun.
I don't really have high expectations for it because I do still find it fun on what season 2 would be. I'd rather they fix the whole problems with hacking and everything, or cheating.
You can't solve hacking. You can't.
Also, Fall Guys esports.
No.
Panda Glow. No. So here's a little bit of segue. Panda Global already announced their Fall Guys esports team.
Come on, Panda Global is a meme. It's a meme team, man.
Well, you know, it's a meme esports for the meme team, so why not?
How many accolades does Panda Global have? Tell me.
Fine. You have a point.
We are having trouble even thinking of accolades associated with Panda Global. Now, Panda Global, if you are listening, right, you want to sponsor the show, fine. But you're a meme team, okay? We are a perfect match.
A meme show for the meme team. Let's go. But yeah, I mean, that's right. Maybe the crown is their first. Like a physical crown to crown their Fall Guy. So it's not I don't think Fall Guys esports is doomed at the start already. So that's my hot take. But you know, speaking of Doom, we have Doom Eternal campaign expansion. Doom Eternal, the one of the flagships for Benchmark now for PCs. Every time I watch like PCs be or parts being benchmarked from graphics cards to processors to motherboards, you'll always be compared. Like you'll have them running Doom at some point.
I guess it's because Doom looks nice. I think Call of Duty will be is more often than not the benchmark. Because of the amount of like building dust and all of that. And it's like a super triple A game, so you'll be optimized.
But what are we expecting from this campaign expansion? Gore?
Doom Eternal have you played? Honestly, how much Doom Eternal have you played? Have you played finish the campaign?
No. I only borrowed. But I mean it's all gore. I mean I love Doom. I grew up with it. The whole Doom on DOS. So I grew up with Doom, but I wasn't... Growing up, I strayed away from the path of FPS.
Honestly, it's the same for me, right? Doom was one of the few games you could play early on. And it's free, right? It was freeware.
Yeah.
And you could just fake the code and crack it and then have full access to the entire game. But the only thing you can go for Doom Eternal is... more worlds, and I don't know how fun that would be. It's just the same gameplay over and over again.
Yeah,
it's not exactly like a GTA or even Skyrim, you know, where you have so many gameplay possibilities. It's just more shooting, more different enemies. That's all.
Yeah, because if you turn it into something Skyrimish, like it'll lose its what basically makes it Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess my point is
space. Yeah, so yeah, sure.
I guess my point is the story mode of Doom Eternal is not important. It's the fun you have killing demons and you know the kind of
true
tools that you have to kill them. That's the fun part.
Yeah, it's more of like a pick it up, de-stress. You want to kill the demons and stuff after a long day of work or school, and
Yeah.
have fun. You don't have to think of anything. You just point and shoot. A bit of a shooting here. Dogfights. Speaking of, we're going into the dogfights realm. Is next up is we have Star Wars Squadrons. So it's been a long time coming. I've been really excited for this game. Are you? Or how about you? How about you, Freak?
Squadron.
It's a dogfights, 5v5.
Don't know, man. You know, the thing about squadron fighters is that you have to trust your teammates. And if Dota 2 or League of Legends or even Mobile Legends is any indication, right? It's gonna be like a torture.
Did they one let's backpedal a little bit. Did they release a price tag for this yet? I feel like there's definitely a price tag for this.
$40, I think.
I
It's
mean,
a multiplayer game, so it's
yeah.
$40.
So it's like Overwatch realm price tag.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that goes the hopes of having it as a good amount of Southeast Asia player base.
Oh man, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Even like a $50 game. No.
I think it's also gonna be due to you need equipment to play this. Well, at least when playing Dota or Counter-Strike, League of Legends, Valorant, yeah, you can have a mechanical keyboard, faster inputs, a better mouse with better sensitivity, a better mouse pad or whatever, but it's very meager. There's a lot of skill in play as there. It's like meager improvement. But for flying simulators, if you have the gear for flying simulators, I feel, I mean, I don't have a first-hand experience, but I feel like it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really have a very.
Like, imagine fighting someone and you're on mouse and keyboard, even controller, and the other guy has a complete flight sim.
Yeah, I just want to admit that, I've spent a lot of time looking for a fun space simulator game. There isn't EVE Online, because EVE Online is not fun, and it that is already out. Unlike like, what's that, Star Citizen? Like, holy
Star
shit, man!
Citizen, Ever
Right, that's
Alpha.
the closest you're gonna get, right? That's the closest you're gonna get. And then I guess there's Elite Dangerous, but it's just not fun. Like, if you have stable teammates that you can trust, that are pretty good, I guess it'll be fun. But other than that, it's like you're gonna just get dragged around.
Yeah, true, true, true. Well, it's I still think that there's gonna be like a big difference if you have like a flight sim, and I think it'll be fun. But I'm not gonna pre-order it. I'm gonna wait like for I guess a
But the thing
month to see.
is there even flight sim support for Squadrons?
Oh yeah, that is a
What if
thing.
there
But
isn't? What if there isn't?
Battlefield had flight sim support, so
It took them a while to probably, and it's probably a mod, right?
yeah. I don't know. I think Battlefield 3 had. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about if it's a mod or not, but I do know it had flight sim. I didn't really bother things. I didn't use the jet as much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was always
Oh, there's
piggybacking
always
off
Microsoft
someone.
Flight Simulator.
True, it's been trending quite. I mean, with people not being able to travel, it's been trending a lot in streams, like people watching other guys play flight simulators. Even PewDiePie was playing like flight
I
simulator.
mean, honestly, people also watch other people play like Truck Simulator and all that. So it's along the same lines, so I'm not surprised.
I don't think I've ever watched someone play truck sim.
It's very boring. You're just there for the conversation. You're not there for the gameplay, let's face it. You're there for the conversation.
I guess. So it's a glorified just chatting game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know it's something that has stood the test of time. We're talking about next game is the World of Warcraft Shadowlands. Admittedly, I think I've only played at the Lich King. So my experience of World of Warcraft is very, very small. What about you?
I have never played World of Warcraft in my whole life.
So, really? Not even.
You know how old World of Warcraft is?
I have stopped counting. But yeah, I'm pretty sure old enough to be my kid.
15 years. Right? It's 15 years old already. And their engine was updated 2013.
And people still play it.
Yeah, what?
I mean, a few years back, people were crying for Vanilla WoW.
Yeah, it's just nostalgia, right?
So nostalgia, tinted glasses, basically.
You eventually get tired of it because you want to play something new, right? And you want to play something old because of the community involved in the old game. Once the community is gone, you just stop playing it.
It's also not very newbie friendly.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're playing and you meet a new friend and you're like, oh, let's play World of Warcraft together. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's not very newbie friendly. I mean, yes, the game is newbie friendly in terms of mechanics, gameplay, and everything. But the whole community is just so far ahead towards newbies. It's disheartening just thinking about catching up. Or just thinking about being bare minimum. It's not about catching up. Just being bare minimum is already going to be a tough hurdle for you.
Yeah. I don't know how fun World of Warcraft is. I've never played it. But as an outsider, right? I think people play it because of how much they've invested in it. And they just come back to it to see like, oh, whether the game has changed. Like, it's like your book has a new, the series you've followed for the past 12 years has a new chapter. So you're invested, so you just want to see how it feels like, how it looks like. And they've kept up with the times too, right? They've updated their graphics. It looks HD. Even though they probably have some like old engine code or something. But it looks good. And I think that's the most important part.
I think how long do you think World of Warcraft has on its fuel?
I know it's 15 years already, right? So I think another 15 years wouldn't be unreasonable. They'll probably just build on, they'll continue to build on it. And it makes sense because if it's a subscriber game and so many people just continue paying for it, you might as well maintain it. You know, similar to RuneScape.
Yeah.
You know how old RuneScape is? Like, it's the oldest MMO of all time.
I'm not surprised. It predates Ragnarok.
19 years old. It's 19 years old.
So yeah, because I know it predates Ragnarok.
So you might as well, right? Since, you know, if you can keep going, why not? Keep going, keep improving. People are there to play your game.
Yeah, it's... Well, the thing about these MMOs, right? They're supposed to be... You feel like they're going to go on forever, but at the same time, you know there's an end at some point.
Is there really, though? I mean, look at RuneScape.
But, you know, going on to our next game, they're literally titling it the next expansion, End of Dragons. This is for Guild Wars 2. So, apart from announcing their jumping ship to Steam, which I think will improve player base, I'm not sure how they're gonna. I don't think it's gonna improve server for us though. I think we're still using Guild Wars server. So you know, yeah, good luck with that to us. But apart from that, they are gonna be adding another expansion, which I didn't think they would do. I thought they'd be continuing on with these like bits and pieces of Living Story that they've been adding. So I haven't touched Guild Wars, I think, in a month. I know you've been still been playing. Have you? Break? Did I lose you? Well, yeah, I think for Guild Wars 2, should be the end since it's titled, well, End of Dragons. A bit excited, at least, to know that there's something. A bit sad that it may be, it is the last expansion. So I'm giving Guild Wars a little bit of more like 3 years, tops.
What? Only three years? You are... I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Where have you been?
I find your lack of faith very disturbing. I've been playing Guild Wars again, so it will go on for another 16 years probably.
The moment I mentioned Guild Wars 2 lifespan, you pop back in.
Yeah, it's... Well, my network adapter crashed, but... My computer restarts within like 1 minute, so I just restarted my computer. It's they call it the End of Dragons, but I think they're just starting a new storyline. That's why they call it End of Dragons. Stop obsessing over dragons, you know. Stop obsessing over them. It's gonna be a new kind of threat.
Yeah, Tengu's finally have an army.
Do you know there's so many unsolved mysteries in Guild Wars 2?
Yeah!
Like you... Do you know outside Lion's Arch, right? There's a Tengu enclave.
Yeah, I know, that's there's why.
There's an entire building, right?
So they're gonna... So I think they're finally gonna come out. They're just gonna invade Lion's Arch and massacre everyone.
No, they're gonna open the doors and we're gonna be able to go in. There's gonna be a lot of events there. It's gonna be fun, man. What I'm looking most forward to, because Guild Wars 2 always has this, is the Living World events that transition Guild Wars 2 Power of Fire to Guild Wars 2 End of Dragons. Yeah. So they always have this like transitional period where there's a lot of world-changing events and one-time only events.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna attend them finally.
Yeah, you're not gonna miss.
I'm gonna be online for this.
Yeah, you're not gonna miss these.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm even excited for it, honestly. I don't know. Do you think there's going to be finally new race?
I think a new race as in the Chinese humans. But a new Guild Wars 2 race, if it's not the Tengu, I don't see... And based on like what the developers have been saying, highly likely that there won't be a new race, but new classes and everything, sure.
Yeah, new classes definitely. But you know, I've always wanted a Kodan Berserker.
Kodan, you can just drink the tonic and then become a Kodan.
It's not satisfying.
It's a lot of coding to create
bones.
A new racial model for every single skin in Guild Wars.
Render bone, render everything again.
Yeah, if dear listeners, if you don't play Guild Wars, there are over like 10,000 different skins, right, in Guild Wars. So can you imagine the poor coder having to remodel everything, 10,000 skins, just to introduce a new race? I don't think they're gonna do that.
Yeah. That never really stopped World of Warcraft. Maybe it's different because of the engine.
No, World of Warcraft only has one skeletal structure for all armors. And then they just scale the skeletal structure.
Oh yeah, I guess.
That's why some armors in World of Warcraft look ridiculous.
Yeah, true. Unlike the skins in Guild Wars, they're kind of like tight fit.
Well, yeah, skins in Guild Wars 2 are components, and then these components, they are modeled differently on every single character. Like a very good example is the legendary armor. Based on your race, right? The legendary armor can look very different because of the proportions of the race.
True. But, you know, everyone has one anyway.
Yeah. No, not everyone. It's still an achievement to get one.
Yeah, I guess. Speaking of achievements, Dota 2 has done it. They've achieved what everyone thought was, it wasn't really impossible. It was only a matter of time. They broke their prize pool from yesteryear, and now they have 34 million and rising.
So How much do you think you'll reach? I think you'll reach 37.
I feel like 37, yeah, that's a bit of a realistic number, especially we're already like towards the end of August. I think there's going to be a spike once the last years are going to be unlocked.
Immortal
3, Windranger, Arcana, and...
Man, I skipped out on this year's Battle Pass.
Yeah, so... honestly, I really just want the Windranger Arcana, and it really sucks that it's on the last tier.
Yeah. Are you going to buy three levels?
I don't know. I think I will, but... Because it's... I didn't really care for Queen of Pain. I don't play a lot of... Actually, Queen of Pain is my worst hero. I have, like, I think 30%.
Because you don't play mid, man.
Well, even if with Queen of Pain now in the offlane, I don't think I'll be playing it. I have big regrets in blinking too soon.
Ah, yes. You can't play against AI, you know, when you're playing Queen of Pain. Because they know how to focus you immediately.
Not even just AI. Like, I have... It's, I'm... If you're, like, happy-go-lucky with Blink, you know, a Blink initiate. And it's, I regret a lot of those.
I always play a triple bracer Kaya Queen of Pain, very strong. She's really strong.
Here's the thing, like, my best heroes are either... My best heroes are Bounty Hunter, Crystal Maiden, and I think Tidehunter. So nowhere near Fane's tool set.
Okay.
So for Envy, I've always been more of the Envy hero. I think that's why, you know, I'm also
Chief
in Guild Wars 2. So I was like, I really like Bounty Hunter. I like playing Bounty Hunter.
Okay.
But yeah. For now, that's it. 34 million, we'll cap it at 37. That's our prediction. For those watching, and you're into Dota 2, yeah, we have a unanimous vote here. 37, that's how far the Battle Pass or the TI-10 prize pool will go. As for the next one, some of the new young guns, we have Legends of Runeterra, the card game. The direct competitor of the dead card game of Dota 2. They released an expansion as well. It's Call of the Mountain. They've added two new champions, which it's day and night. So can you tell me a little bit more about these Call of the Mountain free?
I want to preface this by saying I am no longer excited by Legends of Runeterra.
Okay, so let me put this out there as well.
Yeah.
I'm not excited right now for the Legends of Runeterra, but I'm excited on where it's headed. I feel like they're ticking all the right boxes in terms of a card game. So I'm excited where it's headed. For now, when you come from MTG, any card game will feel lacking.
That's funny because I don't feel it's lacking. Really? I don't feel legendary. Yeah, for me, right, the most important thing about a collectible card game is that it's collectible. I need to be able to touch and feel the cards.
Oh.
Like a digital collection is worth nothing to me. Like there's no sentimental value, you know.
I mean,
there's no way for me to introduce the game to people without feeling like a bloody freaking salesman for the game developers, right? It's like, there's no benefit for me introducing this game to you other than like, okay, I can play with you, fine. But when I play with you, you won't have the cards to play with. You know, the memories we make is like, yeah, whatever, it's just digital. But, you know, when you have a physical card game, like, just by holding the card, you know, you can, you have memories associated with the card. There's some sentimental value. And I think that's the most important part of a collectible card game. Not some like digital crap with like nice artwork. Like, who cares? Honestly, it's like the day, right, where I don't feel like a salesman when I introduce like a TCG, a digital TCG to someone else, is the day where you need to slap me and like, wake up. Wake up, freak, you know. What happened to you? What happened to the physical card game? You need to be able to touch the cards.
Okay, my take...
I'm not a believer.
My take is, I feel like it lacks diversity.
Mm-hmm.
The whole deck sharing thing is great. But, you know, once someone has figured out a meta, then everyone just runs the same deck. So it kind of gets boring. You're facing the same deck over and over again when you're queuing. It's honestly boring to face, face the same deck.
And there's always a deck that is too powerful. Right?
Like, yes. And that's what people will use. And that's what people will use. That's why you're going to face that same deck over and over. Like when, you know, before that, the aggro burn, every single time I queue, it was an aggro burn. I mean, so.
And you always lose to control, value control, because the fact of the matter is that they are one card kings and your one card can only do one thing. And that kind of power creep is what makes people stop playing.
Yeah, so up until they introduce more diversity in terms of decks, and I'm not going to be as enthusiastic with Legends of Runeterra.
Yeah, it's a very complex.
But let's talk about the Call of the Mountain. What's new? I know they have like a new keyboard. And keyword. Keyboard.
Yeah, 6 new keywords, 7 new champions, and
there we go.
New cards. They have a new region, Tarragon.
Yeah.
And then 38 new cards across the existing regions. And there are 4 champions for Tarragon. That's Leona, Diana, Aurelion, Sol, and Taric. If you don't play Legends of Runeterra, you can only choose 2 regions per deck.
Yes.
And that's why introducing a new region, I guess, adds to the diversity. But I can tell you for sure, if the region is not competitive, it will just be left out.
Or if it's overpowered, then it's going to be like insanely used.
Yeah. Everyone's going to like try to match, find the most imbalanced shit for it.
Yes. Well, the 2 champions, from what I remember, is the, I think, Luna. I forgot her name. Checking it out now.
Leona.
Okay, Diana, there we go. Yeah.
Aurelion, Sol, and Taric.
Yeah, so they have those champions for them. It's they're interesting. Not much to talk about for them until they're released, until the meta's found out. They're pretty straightforward cards. They're new, the day and night is pretty interesting, actually. But it's a mechanic. It's a welcome mechanic. But I feel it's a bit too gimmicky. But, you know, let's see how creative the people are. Because I haven't played it, like, over 2 months. And let's see how creative people get. A tinge excitement on what decks could come out based on the new card sets. So that's about
the thing about LOR is that they should make certain keywords evergreen for certain regions. And that's a very good way to make your game more understandable. Because if you have every single keyword available to every single region in some form or some minor form, that makes it very confusing to play. Now, if you have like very clear evergreen keywords, people will know what they're getting into. And I think it helps prevent power creep, because you're not playing a certain region for the strong cards. You're playing a certain region for the key.
True.
Evergreen.
I don't quite remember. Hellbent was a red thing, right, in Magic?
Yeah, it used to be red and black.
Red and black. There we go.
But then it became like everywhere.
Protection is blue and white. Or is there other things that I know, I haven't been keeping track.
No, because Magic, the game has been so...
Yeah, for so long,
it's been
right?
so long, yeah. There's no evergreen mechanic. It's just certain mechanics but are harder to...
Harder
and cost
to find.
More to
yeah.
achieve, yeah.
They're harder to find in other colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Speaking about what's not hard to find, it's that she's all over social media right now. She's the new social media queen of League of Legends, the new champion that's soon to be released, slated for Worlds 2020, Seraphine. So,
what is your initial reaction?
I actually didn't. So here's the thing, right? We posted about it on CE Sport. I made a graphic. I grabbed some of her Instagram photos, posted it, and said, "Look, it's the new social media princess of League of Legends, and that she's hiding among us and everything. It's just a discovery, basically. It wasn't revealed or anything by League of Legends themselves. It was just discovered and leaked." Allegedly, quote unquote, leaked. So I posted it, then it blew up. I think it reached 400,000 reach at about 2k likes and 5.5k shares in Facebook. I think a few dozen retweets. So I didn't think it would blow up. And honestly, I was surprised. I thought it was like, okay, there's news. But share it. So I have underestimated it highly. You know, goes to show, you know, social media, you can never really tell what goes viral. So what's your take on it? I would love to hear your take on it.
I think it's just marketing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, quote unquote, leak.
Yeah. Even starting rumors, like whether she's Filipino or Chinese, you know, Filipino, Chinese or what. I don't know.
I shared that on my own profile because that's not really news. But what I shared was basically because there's all these news, like I'm not going to name the media sites, but there's so many of them, especially Southeast Asian media. They've been posting how she's allegedly Filipino from... What
trying to own her, right? Yeah. Trying to take
over. It wasn't even Filipino media. There were some that are Southeast Asian media in general. Some are Singaporean media. So that's why there's the coin like Pinoy baiting.
Turf wars. Yeah. Yes, Pinoy baiting.
So we didn't bite it, basically. We didn't post anything about it. But like in a few hours, I think the next day, Seraphine posted singing Tong Hua, which is a Chinese song. It's a popular Chinese song. I don't know if you're familiar with it. So it's popular Chinese song. Yeah. Posted singing Tong Hua for the 5,000th time. So like I posted it on my own profile. It's like screen capped it and said like, various sites reporting in, and Seraphine's like, yeah, I'm singing this Chinese song for the 5,000th time.
She has a Chinese father also. Like
the next day she posted the Chinese father reaction thing for her singing. So further invalidates all claims. So, which is surprisingly that in my profile, I don't know which Singaporean friend shared it, but it gained traction and so many Singaporeans shared it. It's like 70 shares that which are all Singaporean or Malaysian. So I don't know which Singaporean friend of mine shared it. I don't think it was you.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not me. I always stay out of this kind of social media marketing kind of bullshit. But honestly, it's great that League of Legends is being so creative.
Yes,
and they have to be, right? Because it's kind of like catching up to Fortnite. In kind of like a AR alternate reality, you know, an enhanced reality kind of involving the game into mainstream and trying to like merge, you know, all these like gaming stuff into the mainstream. Like creating an e-idol, like it's pretty. I mean, if you put so much effort into marketing every single new champion, I think it's very commendable.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because it's Worlds and the special circumstances that they chose to
do this
put so much effort into this champion, right? Into the launch of this champion, because there's nothing else.
Yeah, it's also the fifth one on the roadmap. They didn't put that much effort in the other champions.
Yeah.
Prior. There's also supposedly a champion coming out this month, which I think Samira. I didn't even... Yeah that... Well, good luck to that champion.
No one gives a shit about Samira.
Well, I'm going to double check that, actually. Yeah, I think it's Samira. Yeah, Samira. So Samira is supposed to be the one for September. Then... Oh, yeah, September. Then Worlds comes Seraphine. So, oh yeah, good luck to Samira. Like, basically, just woof, no more. Everyone's talking about Seraphine. And they're using her as a megaphone too, which is our next topic, the KDA comeback, which they're going to have another single. By the time this is published, it should be out. And people are going crazy about it already. So yeah. They're using her as a megaphone to actually geek out, because basically she's posting all these photos or album releases, which we don't even know where she's getting it from, because she's supposed to be like one of us, right? Yeah, she's posting all these album photos and everything. I'm not sure if it's from the League of Legends official account that she's picking it up, but she's posting it herself and she's been teasing it like oh my god, KDA is going to be the biggest thing ever, the comeback.
She's a marketing channel, Ron.
Yeah, it's a megaphone, basically.
Don't lie to yourself and
think
that she's an actual person.
No,
my God.
I'm trying to relay it, because it's the information that's being given to us, right? Even when people confront her about how she's an art, like the render of her is good, she replies that, like, no, it's her. So, in 30 years, we'll be speaking of this as this human rights, Chen. So, get used to it.
E-idol rights. No such thing. Freaking mono. Okay, she's just a marketing channel.
30 years! We'll be going back to this and I'll be like, I told you. People will be claiming like, what about her rights?
No. Marketing channel rights? Come on. The next thing you'll be saying is Fall Guys marketing channel needs to have rights of its own. Like, what? Are you serious?
So, yeah. I think it's a great job. I applaud, right?
It's a great team. It's a great team. I think she'll join KDA. That's the only reason why she's so involved.
Well,
she's
a
singer.
She already
obviously
covered... She already covered
the redemption storyline is there. It's like as clear as day. She's gonna join KDA or she's gonna like feed KDA. And then they're gonna have like a single and it's gonna be like a bestseller. Oh, Riot Games is now a music.
Yeah, you have to applaud them.
Recording
schedule. But you have to give Riot Games props because they have fully integrated themselves into the pop culture market.
Oh, this is Tencent. This is not Riot Games. For sure, this is Tencent.
Fine, Tencent.
It's not Riot Games. It's like...
Pin it!
What kind of ways can we earn money? okay, we can make a music industry, we can make animation. Let's just do that. We got all the money in the world. Let's just do all these and start selling like merchandise and stuff. There's a very big game plan here. And the big game plan is we're going to rival Fortnite. We're going to be a lifestyle kind of thing.
Yes, and then exactly.
All these children who is our audience now, they're going to buy our shit. They're going to buy our merchandise or KDA, Stan KDA, you know. They're going to be like the Sasaeng from Korea. It's like, I'm going to buy KDA shit. Yes. Okay. Spend money on us. But to me, you know, it's clear as day. Marketing channel. Merchandising channel. They're just trying to earn more money. And props to them for opening up all these business venues and to earn money.
That's right. Pin it on anyone you want. You have to give them props for this idea that they've done. And you know what? It's already coming into fruition. They've partnered with Spotify for Worlds.
Man, I'm just sad. Like, do you know what was so attractive about gaming? Gaming doesn't have any of the real world bullshit, right? You play a game, you just spend $60. You play a game, and then that's it, right? It's fun. And then you have some escapism, you de-stress. But now, right, Riot is like, oh, gaming is a lifestyle. Like, what the fuck? Gaming is not a lifestyle. You can't live out your life playing games unless you're a pro gamer. But then you have a lifespan as well as a pro gamer. And I dislike very much how they are just diluting gaming, you know, with real life. You're not supposed to live the game, right, in real life. You're not supposed to be merchandising, you know, like a maniac. Just because you're invested in it, yeah, you can get invested, sure. It's fun. But if you're gonna become like a fanatic, you know, you're gonna treat it as a lifestyle, that's where it's wrong. And by encouraging people to make it a lifestyle. That's a very big problem. And this has been happening since the games as a service trend. It's like where people is like, since gaming is fun, why don't you just spend a few more dollars in your games? It's like why is that even happening? It's like they're squeezing money out of you. And are the developers getting the money? No, it's the publishers. It's the houses, it's the corporations that are getting the money, and they're just using this profit and that part doesn't sit well with me at all.
Well, that is true. I mean, I agree to that at some point about the lifestyle thing. I mean, the whole problem is, I mean, it's happening right now. It's also what I do agree with that. You have valid points. So, but yeah, I will definitely still give props to Riot or League of Legends, whoever want to pin this to, whoever was the guy who had this big idea of creating an Instagram and Twitter for the next champion. This is a pretty creative way of marketing their new champion release for Worlds 2020 and intersecting it with the KDA. But yeah, there are some really blurry lines that are being crossed. It's eating up a lot of space in someone's life. That is true as well. So I am more so that I think people need to practice a healthy way of gaming. So it's not just because when you say healthy, so that's why it's not just when you say a healthy way of approaching gaming, it's not just going to be just about playing games. It's about consuming the content, like from streams. Yeah, so I think further that we need to advocate on a healthy way of gaming. So for those listening, I mean, yeah, it's great. I think Seraphine is the way she's being marketed is great. Freak would probably agree otherwise, but please do consume your content responsibly.
Yeah, I'm all for like enjoying the game, having fun, but just know that, you know, you can't live in your fantasy forever, unfortunately, right? As much as you want to. But, you know, the corporation, Riot Games, the company that is trying to make gaming bleed into real life in a very unhealthy way, that's what I'm very worried about. Like, there's already many reports of children spending like thousands and thousands of dollars in Fortnite. Like, what do you even buy in Fortnite? That's why I don't get. Like, are they buying every single skin in the shop or something? Well, like, what the hell?
I know they do. I know gacha games use that much.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? For gacha games, the thing is, you don't have to create content to earn money. You just have to write some code that gives like a RNG loot box, code the characters, and then bundle them into a gacha, and then boom, you just printed like $500,000. Like, what the hell? That's not what gaming is. Not about earning money, right? Gaming is about, I don't know, providing entertainment and maybe, you know, enhancing the life of other people, of the people who play a game. You know, maybe they learn something or they just have fun. When did it become a corporatized way to earn tons of money?
When it became a billion dollar industry?
It became a billion dollar industry when people were selling AAA games at $60, right? Now it's a multi-billion dollar industry because of the gacha games. And like, the obsession with earning money, capitalism, is not healthy, man.
That's why
capitalism corrupt all entertainment industries, like all of them. Gaming is not exempt. Like, it's already starting already.
Listeners, game responsibly, meaning spend your money responsibly as well. Yes, you don't have to buy every single game out there. I know I don't. You don't have to spend for every single loot box out there. It's not a need, it's a want. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you just know that with so many released, you can't play every game. So just play the games that you like to play. You know, just because Fall Guys is popular, it doesn't mean you have to play it, right? Maybe you want to try it out, sure. Well, but you don't have to be pressured to play it.
Right now, it's starting to be the new flavor of the month is going to be Among Us, actually. It's basically a werewolf game.
Oh, have you played it?
No, I've seen people play it. I haven't had the time. But it's interesting. A lot of people are asking me to play, actually, Among Us.
Oh, it's a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it's a you have to find out who
is the imposter. Yeah. Not bad. I mean, yes. I play Jackbox, and Jackbox has a mode like similar to Among Us.
So that's actually not part of our topic, supposedly, because repeating what I said earlier, please game responsibly. And not just when I say game responsibly, not just by playing or managing your time. It's more than that now. It's way past that.
It's the money you spend as well.
The money you spend, the content you consume, how it affects your life. All those things. It's encroaching. I think that's a proper word to use for gaming. Especially,
absolutely,
it's encroaching on everyone's lives. It's really, really hard to ignore now. Which is, it's a good thing, but you know, where the good comes with the bad.
Yeah, don't get caught up in trends. Like, don't get snapped up by the next wave of games. You know, just because everyone plays PUBG, it doesn't mean you have to play PUBG. Just because everyone is playing Apex Legends doesn't mean you have to play Apex Legends. Think for yourself what's fun, and then just do what makes you happy.
Yes.
Because honestly, right, I've seen so many of my friends fall into the trap of like, oh, I have to play the latest game. Like, what are you chasing, honestly?
Especially for streamers.
Yeah.
Especially for streamers.
Streamers, okay, fine. It's that's what kinda, the viewers want to see.
Yeah.
See the game, fine. But yeah, for us normal people who are not like public figures, you just have fun. Just don't make gaming into a chore for yourself.
Yes. And that's it. So for us here, that was episode 30, I believe, of Nerd Stuff. So this is again Ben Scron with me as my buddy here.
Yeah, freak of nature in the house.
Yes, and we will be back next week again. And we'll try to see if we can have a few more guests in line. So we'll try to cook up something for you guys. Something new, a palate cleanser, basically. For you guys, maybe a guest again. So take care, stay safe, and have a good day. Bye.
Bye, guys.